Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Perfect Bracket College Basketball Podcast. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at @1PerfectBracket. That's the number one, at @1PerfectBracket. So today, I just wanted to continue to look at some more trends, and I dove in and looked for some things that I thought might be good indicators of predicting the NCAA tournament moving forward, and just things that I just thought were interesting and just would be worth discussing. So number one, I decided to look at teams that during the regular season, with the data going back to around 2002, and just again up front, credit to TeamRankings.com for this data. I decided to look at teams that did really well coming into a game with four or more days off during the regular season, and I wanted to see how they would fare in the NCAA tournament. With the logic being that if you're a team that maybe just tends to do well for whatever reason, with more rest or maybe having a lot of time to prepare, if your coach is like really good at preparing, and your team maybe has a short bench, doesn't have a lot of bench guys, so the extra rest would benefit the team more. So anyway, I want to look at teams that had a winning percentage of 80% or better during the regular season with 4+ days off. Then I wanted to see how they fared in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Just coming into the tournament, unless you're a team that wins the first four game, you're going to come in with at least 4 days off. Like if you play on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I think even for the purposes of this game, I guess 4+ days off would not include a team that played on the Sunday before the NCAA tournament. So I guess those teams would not apply. But anyway, so I'm just going to do a rundown of the seeds, how they fared in the first round of the NCAA tournament if they had this greater than 80% win percentage with 4 days off. Two seeds were 30-2, three seeds 33-4, four seeds 22-6. None of these really surprising so far. You'd expect these seeds to win a lot of the time anyway. Five seeds 18-5, kind of impressive. Again, five seeds still win the majority of the time, even though it's an upset-prone game. Six seeds 12-4, seven seeds 16-1. I thought that was pretty interesting. Eight seeds 17-2. Nine seeds 9-3. I found that relevant and kind of pretty significant in terms of the disparity in which they won those games. 10 seeds were 6-2. 11 seeds were 9-5. 12 seeds were 12-10. 13 seeds 4-13. 14 seeds 4-8. 15 seeds 1-0. So the obvious kind of thing that makes this statistic imperfect is that the win percentages, and I could have backed this out, but it would just been a more work than I felt was necessary, is that, so if a team is successful and wins the first round tournament game, then that's obviously going to give them a win in this 4+ days off category. And the records of these teams, so if I find a team that says, oh, they have a 90% win percentage with 4+ days off, and they were a team that played in 2005, if they won their first round game, that goes into the win percentage as well. So obviously the teams that win first round games are going to be more likely to have at least a mildly higher win percentage. But still, like, these teams play a large enough sample during the regular season that even if they win one game in the NCAA tournament that in which they had four or more days off, that's not going to be enough for the most part to swing their win percentage from not 80% to 80%. So again, if that doesn't make complete sense, it's okay. But generally, I just felt that an imperfect statistic, obviously imperfect in the grand scheme of things in terms of as a predictive measure, but I still found it significant enough. So basically, these teams, when they had 4+ days off, they performed really well in the first round of the NCAA tournament, above what I think, at least particularly in the middle seed ranges, above what you would expect. It was significant enough that I felt like it's something that I wanted to keep in the back of my mind moving forward. Next, I wanted to look at what I tend to think of call motivation teams. Teams that had an earlier exit in the NCAA tournament than they wanted the previous year, last season. And then teams that are bringing back a lot of guys. So basically, you would think that they'd be very motivated. They got to the tournament last season, didn't do quite as well as they wanted, are bringing back a lot of the same guys, and should be in a position to exceed whatever expectation it is that they failed to overcome the previous season. So this past season, the team, my big motivation team was Seton Hall, because They had lost back-to-back first-round NCAA tournament games the previous 2 years. They brought back a big senior class, Angel Delgado, Desi Rodriguez, etc. And I felt like, okay, this team, who knows, not sure they're going to win a national championship or anything, but I feel like they got to at least win at least one NCAA tournament game. And they did. They beat NC State in the first round. And I could go back with – I've gone back and looked for a lot of quote-unquote motivation teams in the past, and those teams don't always come out and win. But I felt like it was at least a small significant factor, a small if not significant factor that you can look at when making your picks. I feel like you need to look beyond just this one season and look at the grand scheme of things, and that's not always going to help you. But I felt like it's something that's worth – taking into account. And I wanted to look at potential motivation teams for this upcoming season. The first one was Auburn. So Auburn was a 4 seed that lost to Clemson in the round of 32 after escaping against College of Charleston in the first round. And they were one of the youngest teams in the country, 308th in experience according to KenPom. But they won the SEC, I believe, and they had high expectations going into the tournament. Although they did lose Anthony McLemore to injury, so that kind of had put a cap on their season heading into the tournament. So kind of people didn't expect them to go as far as they maybe could have. And there's a lot of reason to expect that they might be able to get at least to the Sweet 16 this upcoming season. First, like, they bring a lot of guys back, and including Austin Wiley and Daniel Purifoy, who were not even guys that were back last season, who sat out last season due to the FBI investigation, things surrounding that. They're going to be back. But there's also a ton of guys that are going to be back that actually played minutes, including including Bryce Brown and Jared Harper, a stud guard duo that they got. And Mustafa Heron was going to be back, but it looks like he's going to be headed to the NBA. I think that's official. I think he signed an agent. So he will be gone. But they're still going to have the duo of Brown and Harper. And along with a lot of versatile forwards in OKK, McLemore is going to be back. I believe Dunbar is going to be back. Deshaun Murray, again, he was another forward that's going to be back, so he left. So honestly, this is a team that I still think falls under the motivation category. But if they had brought back Heron and Murray, I would have elevated them even further in that sense. So basically they're bringing back a big core. They're going to be a top 10 team, I think. The other thing is this is not a team that was like had some major weakness last season. They were really balanced. According to KenPom's efficiency metrics, they were 26th in offense, 37th in defense. So they can just improve on those both things a little bit. They could be the top 20 team in both offense and defense, and that could put them in a position to be, you know, one of the best teams in the country. You know, the things, again, I've brought up, they're maybe not quite as good as in terms of this motivation metric as I thought, because Heron losing him to the NBA. They also have a few guys. Jared Harper, he technically is testing the waters for the NBA along with Wiley. I think they'll be back, though. Again, Murray leaving the program. But again, there's still a ton of talent. The ceiling probably drops a bit now, but I still feel like there's enough of a core with this team, enough talent, that they should be in a good position to make at least a Sweet 16 this year. But it's hard for me to project too much beyond that. And one of the keys will be, assuming both Wiley and Purifoy are back, can they be integrated into the team, or is this team kind of, or do they kind of like hurt the mix of this team? Like, if they get a lot of minutes, who knows? Hopefully things mesh well, but there could be some resentment there. And then McLemore, he's going to be back from injury. Is he fully recovered? There's a lot there, though. There's enough there that they're definitely a motivation team for me. Another big motivation team that I have is Virginia, for fairly obvious reasons, considering they were the number one overall seed and lost to UMBC, the 16 seed. They have a lot of motivation to bounce back this season. And they do lose Devin Hall and Isaiah Wilkins, but they return a pretty solid core of Kyle Guy, Ty Jerome at the guard spot. They'll be juniors this year, along with DeAndre Hunter, who is potentially maybe going to go to the NBA, but him being back is huge. He will probably take a really big leap. It might not show up in the stat sheet, but like, because Virginia plays at a slow pace, but he's going to be really good this year. And so they're going to have more experience now. And this is something that was kind of, like lacking, if I was gonna say what was Virginia's weakness in this season, I mean, it was easy to say, obviously they had a great defense, and it was easy to say that their offense wasn't great, although it performed well throughout the year. But it was hard for me to see when I was like picking my bracket. I didn't have them winning the championship, and it's a simple reason, but it was hard for me to see the sophomore duo of Guy and Jerome being able to like win that team like six straight games to like win a championship. I felt like it was just hard to see them being quite ready. And I feel like, again, just a lot of great experience this past season, and I feel like they're going to be veterans now, upperclassmen. And I feel like they'll be ready to do what needs to be done. I see Virginia really bouncing back. I feel like they were underrated most of the year last year. They were so good the way they went through the ACC. They were not, even though they lost, I think they're legit. I really do. And I see them at least, I mean, I don't see them getting bounced that early again this season. Depth could be an issue, as like Jack Salt and Diakite are really the only returning players that saw any minutes last season. There's Jay Huff, a 7-1 guy, should be able to provide some minutes. 6'4 Marco Anthony is another sophomore that projects as a rotation player that saw some minutes last season. I feel like they're going to step in and probably elevate and be a little bit better than maybe people would expect, just because they didn't get a lot of playing time last season. Again, Virginia was so underrated. I feel like their defense is always going to be there. They have enough back from last season that I don't think there should really be a drop-off in that regard, although Wilkins and Hall were both obviously very good defensive players. I really just believe in Tony Bennett as a coach. I feel like he's going to be motivated. He'll get that team motivated. And what could really elevate this team, along with DeAndre Hunter, I feel like just really just taking another step forward as a player. I really liked what I saw from, it's hard for me to pronounce his first name, but Diakite of Virginia. I feel like he really had a lot of flashes late in the season, and I could really see him kind of taking a leap in that regard as well. Again, it might not show up on the stat sheet, but I feel like he could be a key X factor for that team. So that's Virginia. The third and last motivation team that I'm going to touch on in this podcast is Tennessee. Tennessee was a 3 seed that fell to Loyola in the round of 32. They, like Auburn, were a really young, talented team this past season that overachieved, and they should bring back pretty much everyone except senior James Daniel. And so Tennessee, again, they were young. They were 271st in experience per KenPom. But what kind of made this team unique is that they're 95th. They were 95th in minutes continuity last season, which means that even though they were young, they had a lot of the same players play roughly the same amount of minutes as they did the prior season, which basically means that a lot of these guys, there was a lot of guys that played a lot as freshmen or sophomores and still played a significant amount last year as juniors, as sophomores or juniors. So this team has a lot of built-up continuity together. They're still young, and they're just continuing to, you know, learn and grow. And this another team, again, that was really balanced, and they can just continue off of that. They should be really set. They were 36th in offense and 6th in defense. So if they can just kind of maintain that and even maintain the defense, improve their offense a little bit, they should be in really good shape. Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield, one of the best front court duos in the country, should be next season. And they should continue to develop. They have games that, that you could see how they could continue to take a step forward. And what should be key for this team is the development of Lamonte Turner and Jordan Bone, two junior guards. They were both really solid last season, but I felt like they kind of had to have a ceiling to them. They weren't the star players for Tennessee. That kind of went to more of Schofield and Williams, and they don't have to be stars, but I feel like they need to take a little bit of a leap forward if Tennessee wants to kind of make that potential Final Four run. Tennessee turned the ball over a decent amount last season, and based on turnover percentage, Daniel was actually the biggest culprit. So he was a really solid player, and you're not like happy he's leaving, but potentially his departure could help limit the turnovers a little bit. And although I want to be fair and say that he assisted a high percentage too, but it's just a factor that I saw that, you know, in terms of when I was looking at Tennessee's weaknesses, how could they bounce back? Turn the ball over a good amount. Daniel turned the ball over a lot. Maybe With the ball in the hands of Turner and Bone a little bit more, if with them taking a step forward, maybe that won't be as much of a problem this season. So in terms of what could elevate this team, Jordan Bowden is really a guy that I think has some star NBA potential as a kind of a 3-and-D player in the NBA. And so I feel like if he could step up, continue to step up, like that could make a big difference for Tennessee. I think he should. I actually think he's the type of guy that is really going to take a leap forward. And really, again, is another guy kind of like DK Day that you see that really has flashes of just like, wow, he's going to have some great, I feel like he'll have some 20, for sure, like a good amount of 20-plus point games this season, especially when he gets hot from three. So also, can Grant Williams step up? Another minor weakness for this team was defensive rebounding. Well, they were a good offensive rebounding team. Can Williams, who could crash the offensive glass, can he do the same and really stay committed to the defensive glass and make sure that they don't give opponents second chance opportunities? Another thing that could help with improving defensive rebounding is more minutes from Kyle Alexander, who played a lot towards the end of the season last season. He's, I believe, 6'11". He's probably the tallest guy on the team. He got more minutes late last season. I actually think he played really well, and I think more minutes for him could help. Will help in that regard, and it'll be interesting to see because could they play a lineup with Schofield, Williams, and Alexander? I'm not sure. That'd be kind of a lot of, although Schofield can shoot the three. Williams and Alexander can't really space the floor too much. So I don't know if that would work out for Rick Barnes, if he'd really want to go with that lineup. But even if not, you could kind of have two of those guys on the floor at one time. And also, like, it's worth mentioning that Alexander was out against Loyola when they lost. So if he was in, that could have been the difference in actually avoiding that upset. Okay, so that is it for the motivation teams for now. I'm going to follow up with the next three. We're going to do three more teams on the next podcast. And yeah, thanks for listening.